is a strange place for me, but I have a few thoughts concerning grace. If you turn with me to the book of Titus, I believe it's Titus. Yes, Titus, chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. For the grace of our Lord, the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Very interesting here to think that God brings in the thought of grace. Grace teaches us something, doesn't it? What does it teach us? It teaches us to be kind, to be gracious, to help others with love and compassion. The grace of God, we will never fathom the grace of God. So I just thought of this, these few little verses here. It says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation. As our brothers brought out, how would you know anything about the Lord Jesus if it wasn't for his grace that is wrought in your heart and caused you to turn from darkness to light to serve the living and true God? It's the grace of God. We know it's the mercy of God too. You have mercies of the God every day. Even here, and everyone in this room has a mercy of God. But those blessings are eternal. You've never seen one of them yet. But the grace of God has brought us something. You know, we don't just sit there and relax and say, well, I thank God for the grace, and so I'll just go on from there. No, that's not it. God's grace has brought you, taught you something. Are we learning? Are we listening to what he has said? I think it's very precious to see that when God teaches, he teaches us something that shall stay with us for eternity. Oh, we practice it now, if we do. But then in those scenes of glory, when we look into his blessed face, and we see that kindness, that love, compassion of his, are we going to question that? We're going to say, oh, the grace of God has brought me into this position. The cause of my being here is the grace of the living God that has brought me into a place of nearness and blessing. And so I just think of these little verses here. The grace of God that brought salvation hath appeared to who? To all men. Have all men received it? No, they haven't. And they're the losers. But the grace of God has appeared to all men. No one will ever be able to say in that coming day, well, I didn't know that. No, you will not say that. Because it's appeared. The grace of God, the mercy of God, has brought into this picture here for us. And he says, teaching us, it's appeared to all men, and it teaches us something. What does it teach you? What does it teach me? Well, I think it's very precious to see that he teaches us to be gracious, to be kind, to be loving, to be favorable toward all men, not just some men. You know, we can certainly don't agree with the sins of man, but we can certainly love him and seek to help, be helped to him. How do we know this? By the grace of God. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world in grace and truth. We like to put it differently. We like to say truth and grace, but that's not the order. The order is grace and truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, he manifested that in this world. And so I just thought of this, these few little verses here that remind us that this grace of God, it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness, that's the first thing. Denying ungodliness, turn away from that which is ungodly, which is not pleasing to God. It teaches us that. What teaches us? The grace of God, because the Lord Jesus Christ manifested all that grace toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You didn't know that, did you? That God, in his love for you, he knew you before you were born. We can't preach the gospel by telling people that, because they say, well, they'll do work it out for themselves, but God knew you before you were born. So the grace of God has come and brought something to you. And I say to myself, what am I doing with it? Am I practicing it? Am I putting it into practice? Am I using that which God has given me? And so it's interesting to see here, the first thing is denying ungodly lusts. Are you tempted to do something wrong? Be careful. You should deny it. You should turn away from it. So it says, denying ungodly lusts, that we should live. Now he says, you turn away from those ungodly things and live how? Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Soberly as to yourself. Not foolish, not with crazy thoughts, but soberly and righteously toward others, and godly in the presence of God, knowing that he knows all about me. These are precious things, and they've been taught us. And God isn't going to change his word. He's not going to say, well, I told you that in Titus, but I'm going to change that now. Has he done that? Never, never. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. He'll never change it. No matter how we change, he doesn't change. So I just think how lovely and precious this is. Soberly as to my personal self, as to myself, living soberly, then righteously toward you, toward others, that we might always remember the grace of God that is wrought in our hearts. Then he says, godly. And when do we do this? When we get home? No. That's what the scriptures tell us here, doesn't it? In this present world, right now, we can live soberly, we can live righteously, we can live godly. Why? Because the grace of God has taught us this. It's the grace of God. You don't do it, you can't do it yourself, you can't do it in your own strength. In my early days, I was a, you might say, short-fused person. I get angry quickly. But God had a lot to teach me. So I learned something from the grace of God. His matchless grace. He taught me to be sober, to be righteous toward others, and to be godly in the presence of the one who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. How precious this is to see. And then he says, in order that, you know, we speak about thinking of the Lord to come. We speak about the coming of the Lord. And I think if you looked at 1 Thessalonians 4, we find that before he speaks about that, at the end of that chapter 4, he tells us about the way of walking plainly in this world and godly in this world. You read the first part of that first chapter, or fourth chapter of Thessalonians, you find that. So it's beautiful when we think that God the grace of God has taught us something. I always ask myself, how much am I learning? How much have I assumed? How much have I assimilated the truth that God has given me? This is what He wants of us. I'm sure everyone here knows the way of salvation. But what are we doing with it? How are we treating it? Have we accepted? Have we practiced it? It's a point of thought there, something to think about. Looking for that blessed hope in verse 13, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then he has to add, who gave himself for us. That's precious truth. He gave himself. He didn't send Gabriel or Michael. He gave himself. He came down to that cross, bore all the judgment we deserve. Have you ever thought, as we sat this morning remembering the Lord, have you ever thought how much it cost him? We will never know how much it cost him. Eternity will never exhaust it. The sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. Well, I just thought of that. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. Notice it says the great God, the blessed one, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. But also he's coming for us first. Then he's coming in judgment. As we heard our brother with the gospel spoke concerning the judgment of God. He's coming. When he comes back with the saints. The 19th of Revelation tells us so. Comes back with the saints of God. But this is all connected, in my soul at least, with the grace of God that has been extended to me and to you, to each one of us. The grace of God. So, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Redeem us from all iniquity. I've heard many, many sad stories about real children of God. I say real, at least they professed, and their life doesn't prove it. What do you think about that? Solemn, isn't it? If we make a profession or confession of the Lord, we better be careful that we practice it, because God is not going to be mocked. Every man is going to receive his deeds done in the body. So here he says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Not only so, redeem from iniquity, but then purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now there's so much in this. I'm not going to take up more time. I just thought of these verses, how precious it is to see that it's connected with the grace of God, God's grace. You know, God's grace has gone out to all, but if you haven't received it, if you haven't listened to it, if you haven't taken it in, then you're still in your sins. But here he says, in verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Wonderful thing to think that once we were on a downward road, we've been brought to an upward road for one thing, that we might honor God in our pathway, a path of good works. Good works won't get you salvation, but the scriptures are very clear that after you are saved, your works should follow. Good works should follow. But just to climax this, these thoughts, these verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now, I can stand here and tell you this with the authority of the Word of God. I can't say I'm perfect. I can't say that I can do these things. But I'm responsible, knowing this, to bring it out. So he says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. What authority? The authority of the Word of God. That's all. That's the only authority we have. We don't have any other authority. We can't do it as an individual. But it's the wording of the Word of God. So I just submit these thoughts. And the precious thing is to enter more in your soul into the grace of God. The grace of God that has brought salvation, has taught us these things. Sometimes we're poor learners, aren't we? We don't learn quickly. We don't learn enough. We don't listen to the Word of God. So my little conclusion here would be to remember the grace of God and to listen to what He has to say and to follow the injunctions of the Word of God.